Radio Hall of Fame. Today and every Sunday, for one full hour, the stars made great by your recognition of their achievements are brought to you by Philco Corporation, makers today of radar and electronic equipment to help win the war, makers tomorrow of products for good living in a world at peace. This afternoon, Philco Radio Hall of Fame pays tribute to radio comedian Gary Moore. The 80-voice wave singing platoon from the United States Naval Training School Women's Reserve, Wilbur Evans, star of Up in Central Park, Leo Lippy DeRocher, manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers, Ringling Brothers Circus, the greatest show on earth, and of course the Dean of Modern American Music, Paul Whiteman, the orchestra and chorus. For starting out our Easter parade of the best in entertainment, the Whiteman Overture to Spring.
In the hearts of the radio public with his own brand of whimsy, a humor that is as fresh as the spring breeze and just as welcome. Your Radio Hall of Fame pays tribute to radio number one April Fool, Gary Moore. Here we go.
Thank you. Thank you very much, my friends. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Waves, a very, very happy April the 1st to you all. And, Paul, it's really an honor, but now that I'm master of ceremonies here, what do I do?
Well, what does any master of ceremonies do?
Well, he usually comes out and says, you know, folks, the first thing happened to me when I went to the studio today, a man stopped me and said, could you spare a piece of cake I haven't eaten for a week? And I said, cake, what's the matter with bread? And he said, nothing, but today's my birthday. Ha! Then everybody dies laughing.
That's right, or another MC might say, you know, a funny thing happened on my way to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
A man stopped me and said, could I please have a dollar and a quarter to see my mother, whom I haven't seen in 5 years? I said, where is your mother? And he said, in the balcony at the Roxy. What do you think of that?
Oh, mother pulled the covers up with tossing them off tonight. I'll tell you, I'm in a terrible fix, Paul. Actually, on my way to the studio today, nothing funny happened. Here I am, master of ceremonies on the Radio Hall of Fame, and all I've got is two Thanksgiving jokes, one old Bob Hope joke, and one joke left over from a Kiwanis luncheon that the Blue Network won't let me tell. You don't have to have any jokes in the pocket of that lovely suit of undraped burlap you have. You have one, do you, Paul?
No, sorry, I haven't got a joke, Gary.
Well, gee, whiz, we've got to have a joke. Has anybody in the band got a joke?
Somebody?
Anybody in the audience got a joke? There's a man in the balcony with a joke.
Oh, pardon me, madam.
We've got to have a joke.
Say, I've got one, Gary. Oh. Left over from last week's Pig and Pat show.
Oh, that's swell, Glenn. Let's have it.
Yeah, here it is, written on this piece of paper.
Well, let's see. I'll read it up. I said here. Man was on there. Yeah, talking on his teeth. Well, that's no good.
Well, how about this one?
This one, let me see, let me read this. An old maid was in a lower berth on the train when... Glenn, this is Sunday. I know a little too, Paul. Oh, I got a great idea. I've got a wonderful riddle that I can ask you.
I give up.
Paul, old man, I haven't told the riddle yet. Now, here it is. What is it that has four legs?
I give up.
Paul, if you don't mind, would you struggle a little? Don't give up so easy. This is the way I make my living, you know. Now, here it is. What is it that has four legs, feathers, and sings?
I give up.
Two canaries.
I give up.
Paul, why, you know, sometimes I think it's a shame your parents weren't the type to devour their young.
Hey, you should have seen me as a child. You know what my father said the first time he ever saw me?
Yeah, I give up. Let's both give up, Paul. Why should we stand here talking to each other this beautiful Easter Sunday when right here in the theater with us are 80 of the best women in America?
We are the ways of the Navy.
Every girl in navy blue has earned a place in the Hall of Fame. But these girls have an added reason for being on the Radio Hall of Fame today. While in training at the United States Naval Training School for Women Reserves at Hunter College in New York, they joined, rehearsed, and performed this choral group that has since gained nationwide fame. The Radio Hall of Fame is proud to present the Waves Singing Platoon in a special arrangement by Ray Charles, musician third class, of Can't Help Singing.
Along on the crest of a storm.
wonderful waves. You know, I'd like to know more about the singing platoon of yours. This young lady over here, would you mind answering some questions?
Not at all, sir.
Sir? Well, what is your name, madam?
Well, it used to be Miss Schiavone. It's now Jacqueline Schiavone, apprentice seaman.
Would you mind telling us how old you are?
20.
20. Isn't she cute? You know, I never thought I'd see a sailor blush. Tell me, Jacqueline, how long have you been boot training?
6 weeks. I've got 2 more weeks to go before I get my billet.
Your billet?
Oh, that's Navy talk for assignment.
Oh, you use the same Navy lingo the sailors do.
Aye, aye, sir. We stow our chow, decorate the bulkhead, hit the topside, no port from starboard. Why, we even have our own shore patrol. Everything exactly the same as the Navy men.
And what do you waves think of the shore patrol?
Exactly the same as the Navy men.
You know, I've heard that you girls hold down the same jobs the men do. Hospital corpsmen, pharmacist mates, aviation machinist mates, control tower operators.
Radio men, doorkeepers, and yeomen. Why, we waves have created at least one tradition. Sailors no longer say, this man's Navy.
Jacqueline, it's wonderful having you girls here. How many of you are stationed up there at the training school?
Oh, thousands.
Thousands, huh? Well, Jacqueline, if I went up there, how would I find you?
Why, that's easy. I'll be the one in the blue uniform.
Fine. I'll be the one with the green face. We should go well together. But with 80 lovely girls right here, the odds are 80-1 in favor of my getting a date tonight. Jacqueline, what would you say if I asked you for a date?
Well, you still have 79 to go.
Well, all right, I think what I'll do, I'll ask them all at once. Girls, can I have a word with you?
Yes.
Are you allowed to go out on dates?
Yes.
Would you care to go out with me? I don't like the tone of what you're not saying. Look, I'll tell you a thing. Well, let's find another question. Who is your favorite movie actor? Wait a minute. Let me put it this way. What do you think of Van Johnson?
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard of the Navy E. Van Johnson has just been awarded the Navy O. But to get back to the business, girls, and ladies and gentlemen, these girls incidentally do all of their singing and rehearsing on their own time. They will now do their famous medley of Leaves of the Navy and Anchors Away. A picture of Uncle Sam's battle fleet in action. Here's Glenn Riggs with word about what the war has taught a lot of our fighting men.
There are many reasons why America has expressed its preference for Philco by an average of 3-1 in many impartial polls of post-war radio demand. One of them, undoubtedly, is the great record of research and engineering which its laboratories have made in the development of radar and electronic equipment for our armed forces. There's many a man home from the beaches in Normandy, from air battles over Berlin, from the vast reaches of the Pacific, who tells the new story of confidence in Philco research and manufacture. A story that matches the reputation which Philco has built in millions of American homes through 12 straight years of radio leadership. This is your promise for tomorrow from Philco, the leader. When the tasks of war are done, the achievements of Philco War Research will bring you the newest advances of electronic science, new enjoyment of radio and recorded music under the Philco name. Famous for quality the world over.
Well, Paul the Perennial, what hearty harmonies are doing your music rack now?
My garrulous Gary, This is the spot on the Radio Hall of Fame where we give you the now and then.
That sounds like a lawyer's dance, if I ever heard one. The now and then?
Yes, a tuneful tradition that has been not unhappily received in these echoing halls. You see, first we take a song the boys and I recorded years ago in the then fashion of music.
Ah, yes, that was the day of the slide whistle, the clacophone, the banjo.
Ah, you're talking about the instruments I love, Gary. We play the number just as we waxed it. Lo, these many years ago.
Back in the days when you were known as Forever Ample. Oh, Paul, Paul, bring on your then version of What'll It Be?
Something we'll never forget. Wabash Blues Old Style. Featuring Grandpa Mike Fingator on the African harp. Gorgeously furbished in modern 1945 Easter rigging, and it's a musician's spring style of Wabash Blues. Eat it out, boys.
This year brings spring, it brings Easter, and it brings the training season for America's national sport, baseball. We think that a place in the Radio Hall of Fame has been earned by one of the most colorful figures ever developed in baseball. Ladies and gentlemen, manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers, Leo Libby DeRocher. Well, Leo, as manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers, maybe we can get some first-hand information. Now, in your opinion, how are the teams going to end up in the pennant race?
Well, Gary, it looks like it's going to be very close.
It does?
Yes. I don't know whether it's the Giants or the Cards for second place.
And for first place?
Who else?
Pardon me?
Not at all. Let me ask you, Gary, speaking objectively...
Objectively?
Oh, it's a word I picked up while trying out for the Boston Braves. Speaking objectively, how do you think the Dodgers will come out this year?
What? I didn't hear you. What's that?
How do you think the Dodgers will come out this year?
From what I hear, in wheelchairs.
Well, we have been hit pretty bad by the manpower shortage.
I imagine it must be tough.
Sure. You find a good man, you sign him up, he's all ready to start the season with you, and bing, he gets that letter from the government.
His draft notice?
No, his old age pension.
Well, that makes it tough. Then you got to break in a new man.
Yeah, but with my system, it's easy.
Oh, you've got a system?
Yeah. I'll give you a, for instance, I need a right fielder.
Yeah.
I pick a guy and send him out to right field.
Yeah.
That's all. If he can get there, he's got the job.
And if he can't quite make it out to the right field under his own power?
He plays first base.
His first base if he makes it. And I suppose if he can't budge at all, you plug him up behind home plate, put on an oxygen tent over him, and he's the catcher.
Unless he's too old and can't even see, then he automatically becomes the umpire. By the way, Gary, whatever became of Major Kirk?
I don't know, Leo, but I hope they'll send me a ticket to the opening game. You know, I certainly want to be there when you slug the first umpire.
Wait a minute, Gary. You've got me all wrong. You're looking at the new DeRocher.
Frankly, Leo, I don't see much improvement.
Well, you remember how it used to be out at Ebbets Field. My pitcher would throw a ball right across the plate, face high. So naturally, the umpire says,
ball one!
What? That one was right in the groove.
I said ball one.
Don't you know a strike when you see one, you blind fathead?
That'll cost you a $25 fine.
Why, you cementhead?
That'll cost you $50.
Why, you... I could tell you what you really are, but I can't afford it.
Yeah, that sounds like the old DeRocher, all right, Leo.
Oh, but now you're looking at the new DeRocher, Gary. High class, cultured all over. This season, I'm going to be polite or bust.
Be polite or bust? Would you mind standing back out of the way where you won't smash on anybody?
Oh, Gary, the whole club's high class now. You know how a ball player grips his bat?
Yeah.
Well, on our team, we do it with a pinky sticking out.
Things are going to look awfully strange in Ebbets Field this year.
Well, for instance, the same pitcher throws the same kind of a ball. Straight down the center, so the umpire says...
Ball one!
Oh, you must be mistaken.
I said ball one.
Well, you know best.
I don't want no arguments either.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I lost my head. Pardon me, I must confer with my pitcher. Oh, Mr. Moore. Oh, Mr. Moore.
Coming, Mr. DeRocher.
By the way, do you think I should throw a slow curve to this gentleman at bat?
Would you mind a suggestion, Mr. Moore?
Perish the thought, Mr. DeRocher.
I would suggest a fastball. We don't want to be late for tea.
Quite so. And, Leopold.
Yes, Garrison.
Leopold, you remember the chap to whom I pitched four balls, thereby allowing him to reach first base?
Yes.
Well, don't look now, but he's scampering like mad towards second.
Well, Gary, if he's the type of fellow who would steal second base, let's pay no attention to him. He'll just hate himself in the morning.
Ah, third ball.
Hey, that's that ruffian from the St. Louis team, Butterball Whiteman.
Butterball Whiteman? Now I'll have to throw a curve, otherwise I'll hit him.
Okay, let's go. Batter up.
Oh, Mr. Whiteman hit the ball a dandy clout. It is now rolling towards the pitcher's box. Oh, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. DeRocher.
DeRoche.
Have you retrieved the ball?
Why, bless your little catches, Mitt. Of course I have.
Well, Mr. Whiteman is running towards first base. You'd better throw it.
Oh, no. No, you throw it. I'm not on speaking terms with our first base.
Well, I'm not either.
Oh, heavens, we'd better think of something. We must think of something. Mr. Whiteman is fast approaching first base.
Well, I have it. Let's both walk over there with it.
That would be dead. Well, here we are at first base. What time is Mr. Whiteman due?
Here comes Butterball now.
Oh.
There. I tag him.
Safe. That car's safe. Who said that?
I said that, and I'm the umpire, that's who.
You mean, that's whom?
Yes, you see, old man, we frown on bad grammar here at Ebbets Field.
I said that's who, and I mean that's who.
You don't understand. When you use the objective case...
Watch your language.
But you are erroneous.
I'm a what? That'll cost you $25.
But you've misconstrued the...
$50. What have you got to say now?
Well, for the amount of money it's costing me, I can tell you what I really think of you. You flat-headed, feather-brained, near-sighted, ball-eyed, giddy-eyed...
If I were fancy, I'd say that in days of yore, troubadours went around singing their lusty ballads beneath the windows of fair ladies just to get a rose tossed at them. Today it's a different dish, and we measure fame by the number of command performances our singers get. In this case, the command is from the customers who swarm into Broadway's biting musicals to give them long runs. That's the passport our next guest has to his place in our Radio Hall of Fame. For he's a 3-time winner in the last 3 years. First, you heard him in the revival of The Merry Widow, which captivated New York, as the colonists say. Next, he lent his vocal gifts to the Brighton Bounty score Cole Porter wrote for Mexican Hayride. And today, he's the star of Mike Todd's nostalgic Valentine up in Central Park. Ladies and gentlemen, Wilbur Evans.
Thanks, Gary.
Wilbur, I've heard fine things about the way you sing that song called When You Walk in the Room from your show. Will you add your voice to our springtime song session?
Here we go.
When my love steps in a house, children start to play. Not a single tired mouse wants to run away. Sobbing one begins to blow, suddenly it's gay. Visitors who ought to go, look and stop and stay. The air seems fresh, the lights grow bright, the walls are charged with dynamite. The artificial flowers bloom when you walk in the room. The statues nod, the curtains wave, the big stuffed elf becomes your slave. The silent clock begins to boom when you walk in the room. The family album opens and relatives galore look up and smile like angels. They never smiled before. And there you'll be, so young and sweet. My heart starts kneeling at your feet. My world begins to soar and burn when you walk in the room. The goldfish grins, the lovebirds squeal, the old wax fruit is almost real. They lose that old familiar gloom when you walk in the room. The antique deck begins to swell. That homely corn big cabbage smell becomes a marvelous perfume when you walk in the room. The little horsehair sofa is overstuffed with pride. It knows we'll soon be sitting together side by side. And there you will be, so fair to see. I love you oh so terribly. You're meeting your prospective groom when you walk in the room.
Great. Indeed, that was fine, Wilbur. We'll hear more from you later. Meanwhile, we take out our best bespangled whisk broom and dust off our special niche in the Radio Hall of Fame for
the greatest show on earth.
And the circus comes to town. This year, the Ringling Brothers and Bonham and Bailey Circus celebrate its Diamond Jubilee. 75 years under the canvas hop for uncounted millions that have been entertained. The circus breaks this recognition from your Radio Hall of Fame. Whose heart doesn't quicken to...
Hurry, hurry, hurry! Right this way to see the mammoth, stupendous, colossal, gigantic show going on inside the Great Tent. See the great spectacle of Amazonia, a rousing, breathtaking, all-girl climactic series of daredevil events featuring girl warriors and charging trail lancers, ending in furious, rumbling, thundering chariot faces. And to top it all, the great spectacle, Alice in Circus Wonderland, panoramic extravaganza supreme. Come in and see the greatest show on earth, celebrating its 75th year in circus history. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Yes, sir. Isn't that fun? The big show, ladies and gentlemen, the big show. Yes, sir. And to top it all, Wednesday night in New York's Madison Square Garden, the circus comes to town. With it comes the memory of all the color, drama, and excitement that goes with the greatest show on earth. And who better to remember the circus than the old clown?
Yes, I'm a clown. 55 years I put in under the big top, making people laugh. In rain, shine, snow, and sleet. In Florida, Maine, Illinois, big towns, little towns. I saw the circus grow from one small tent and one night stands to the thing it is today, the biggest show on earth. You know, there's one thing about a circus that always got me. The little boy. The typical little boy.
Like me, mister?
Yes, like you, sonny. In my day, I've seen, I guess I could say, millions of you crawling over the fences, sneaking under the tents, sitting there wide-eyed.
Gosh, every boy likes circuses. Were you really a clown?
Yes, I was a clown, all right. I put on my grease paint every day and every night for more years than I can remember.
Gee, a real clown.
Yeah, that's right. I joined the circus when I was hardly bigger than you, sonny. The same circus the Ringling Brothers started in Baraboo, Wisconsin.
No fooling. Is there a town named Baraboo?
Yes, there's a town named Baraboo. The Ringling started with a few tents, some wagons, some rented horses, and a hyena.
A laughing hyena?
He laughed all right. Well, that's how the biggest show on earth got started. A little circus you could put in your hat almost. Then, all over the country, circuses started to spring up. And in New York, a big event took place over 75 years ago.
Hey, Joe, what's that newfangled museum on 14th Street?
Let's get on a horse car and see. Sounds interesting.
I hear they got an old woman who was George Washington's nurse.
Don't believe it.
Well, you've heard of General Tom Thumb, famous midget? 2 feet high.
Don't believe it.
And they got real cannibals from Africa.
Don't believe it. Say, who runs this here museum?
A man named Barnum, P.T. Barnum.
P.T. Barnum, he was another great showman. And naturally, his museum branched out under canvas, became a circus.
Gee.
After that, Barnum brought Jenny Lind to this country. a singer called the Swedish Nightingale. And it brought hundreds of freaks. And
freaks, that's what I like. The fat lady, the rubber men, the midgets, and the giants. Oh, boy.
All an interesting part of the circus family, Sonny. Then the two circuses combined, Barnum and Bailey and the Ringling Brothers, to make the greatest show on earth.
And you've been with it till now?
Mm-hmm. Till I retired.
It must be fun being a clown, isn't it? Making people laugh.
Well, I always thought so, but I'll tell you a famous story about that. It's a story about the very first and the greatest of all clowns. It happened many years ago in the office of a famous doctor in Italy. A patient came in.
Yes, sir. Have a seat. Oh, what seems to be bothering you?
I don't know, sir. I'm morbid, Blue. I can't seem to get my mind off myself. I worry.
Oh, sounds like melancholia.
That's it, melancholia. I seem to brood and worry all the time. It's getting terrible.
Well, let's see. Say, I got a cure for you. You know, circus is playing in town.
Sure.
Give yourself a treat and go over there. Enjoy it, and above all, make it a point to see their famous clown.
Yeah, but, Doctor...
He's the funniest clown I've ever seen. His name is, let me see. It's Grimaldi. Yes, Grimaldi.
Yeah, but, Doctor...
Just forget all about yourself. Go and have a good laugh.
Yeah, but, Doctor, I'm afraid your treatment wouldn't work for me.
Oh, nonsense. Grimaldi, he's the funniest clown in the world.
It still wouldn't cure me. I am Grimaldi.
You see, Sonny, it isn't always fun being a clown.
Oh, gee, I bet I'd like it. Or maybe I'd like being a tightrope walker better.
I remember the greatest of them all, the Wallendes. They gave us a thrill we'll never forget. One night in Akron, Ohio, they were doing their act known as a three-high thriller.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the wires, 55 feet above you, we present the Wallendes in a death-defying act known as the Three High Thriller. In this act, you have two men standing tandem, as you see on the wire. On their shoulders, there is a pole balanced from one to the other. As they balance the pole, Carl Wallendes takes the chair, and yes, he climbs aloft to set the chair on the pole. Carl Wallendes is sitting in the chair, and here is the moment you have been waiting for. Lovely Helen Wallendes climbs up to Carl on the chair, and he balances her on his shoulders so that her very fingertips can touch the top of the canvas 55 feet from the ground with no safety net underneath them. The boys! Quiet, everybody! Quiet! Helen Wallendes fell from Carl's shoulders. But they're all right, they're all right! All the men grabbed the wires as they fell, and when Helen fell, Carl Wallendes caught Helen in a scissors grip in his legs, saving her from a tragic fall to her death. Ladies and gentlemen, they're all right, they're all right! The Wallendes!
Oh, boy, that was a thrill.
Well, that's the circus for you, Sonny. Thrills, laughter, tears. That's what makes it the greatest show on earth.
The greatest show on earth, and the Radio Hall of Fame is proud to pay honor to its 75th Jubilee celebration in tribute to those entertainers who have given such pleasure to millions. Further to honor this occasion, we have with us probably the most famous of all clowns in the biggest show on earth, Felix Adler. Oh, Felix. Felix, I've after that outfit of yours for many years, and it's even better up close. Gee whiz, those big feet. And I love that funny wig of yours.
Thanks, Gary. I think your wig is funny, too.
Felix, this is my own hair, you know. I get a cut once a year every Thanksgiving. My butcher plucks me and my turkey for the same price.
Say, Gary, how about my nose? How do you like the way it lights up? Woo-hoo!
Majesty Fields can do the same thing without carrying a battery in his bottle. Felix, you were the king of clowns before radio was invented.
Yes, and I think this working in the radio is quite a change from circus. You know, in the circus, I don't say anything. I just walk around with a little pig.
A pig?
Yes.
It's nice of you to say that this is a change.
Yes, mine is a small pig.
I see. But then why didn't you bring him with you?
I did. He's right here in this little black box.
Well, for heaven's sakes, open it up and bring him up, huh? Oh, he's opening the big box down here now. All right, George, I don't think he's kidding. I think he's really got one in there.
Oh, Lord!
How do you like his voice with one tone lower? It sounds just like Jimmy Durante.
Listen. Oh, George, say hello to Gary,
Shirley. Come on now, Shirley. Say hello. Give her a bottle of milk. Oh, she goes for that bottle of milk. Isn't she cute? That's one of the cutest animals I've ever seen there.
Yes, sir. She's the cutest pig.
Yeah, do you think maybe she likes me?
Oh, she likes you, Jerry. I know she does.
Think she does, huh?
Yeah.
I like her, too. You know, I think she looks just lovely surrounded by parsley.
Hey, wait a minute, Jerry. I don't like that gleam in your eye. I'm going to take my pig and get right out. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you, Felix Adler, for being with us. The greatest show on earth is going to take place for many housewives in the realm of their homes after the war. Glenn Riggs brings the forecast of that happy day and one good reason for it. Glenn?
It was a Philco nameplate on the door, as well as its new and advanced features, that led thousands of women to choose a Philco refrigerator before the war. For in millions of homes, the Philco name is known for quality and dependability. And during these years, when Philco owners learned to appreciate the value of its exclusive features like the full-size separate compartment for frozen foods, they also learned the full meaning of the dependability which Philco builds into its products. When the tasks of war are done and Philco refrigerators appear again on your dealer's floors, behind their modern features will be the promise of years of trouble-free service and satisfaction. The promise of the Philco name, famous for quality the world over. We will continue with your Radio Hall of Fame after a brief pause for station identification. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company. We're back in the Radio Hall of Fame, where today we pay tribute to Leo DeRocher, manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers, Wilbur Evans, star of Up in Central Park, the 80-voice wave singing platoon, Paul Whiteman, the orchestra and chorus, and your master of ceremonies, Gary Moore.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, comes the time for the Radio Hall of Fame tune of the week. What song is it, Paul?
Well, Gary, this week we've nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame a popular song that has become as much a part of Easter as Hallelujah's a new spring hat.
Sounds interesting.
Perennial favorite written by Irving Berlin, Easter Parade.
Easter Parade.
one of the many reasons for the outstanding success of our master of ceremonies, Gary Moore, is his own peculiar brand of whimsy. The Radio Hall of Fame now presents Gary Moore in one of his most famous and delightful fables.
Thank you very much, Mr. Riggs.
Oh, not at all, Mr. Moore. It was nothing.
That's funny. That's what I think, too. But now today, friends, today being the beginning of spring, people everywhere are very happy. All over the country, the snapdragons are snapping, the petunias are petuning, the Belgian lilies are blooming. And everyone is happy because the trees are budding. But does anyone ever stop to think whether or not the trees are happy? Certainly not. So tonight, my friends, I should like to tell you the sad story of a tree named Herbert.
I am a tree, and my name is Herbert. I was born in the forest where birds went tweet tweet, the wind went woo woo, the brook went girdle girdle, and the creek went je suis joli toujours toujours.
You see, it was Frenchman's Creek.
And I was a fine upstanding young fellow like all trees are. After all, you never saw a tree going to the dogs. And at the age... And at the age of 20, I fell in love with little sycamore on my right. One day I said to her, Clarissa, my little sapling.
Yes, Herbert.
Will you love me always?
Oh, yes, Herbert. I shall love you always.
Good. And let's carve a heart with our initials in it on some passing man. Oh, we laughed about men then. Until one day, some men actually came into the forest. And in their hands, they carried hatchets, axes, and saws. And when I saw them, I shivered in my timbers, and my sap ran cold! One month later, I was a bathroom door. Yes. Yes, I was a door. I was a door and gone was the forest where the birds went tweet tweet, the wind went woo woo, and the brook went gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. Here in the bathroom, the faucet went drip, drip. The pipes went clank, clank. And the old man went gargle, gargle, gargle. But I was making the most of my fate and was happy enough. Until one day, they brought in... I can hardly bear to say it. They brought in my darling Clarissa Sycamore. Now a laundry basket. I stood there, straining on my hinges. Then I said, Clarissa, darling, is I your own loving Herbert Hemlock? Even though you are a laundry basket, speak to me.
But I can't speak to you.
Why not?
Every time I open my mouth, somebody throws a wet towel in it.
Yes, I know. They treat me the same way. For 10 years, I've been a faithful bathroom door to this family. Do I ever rattle in the night? No. I only squeak when spoken to. And what do I get? What do I get in return, I ask you? What do I get? Rheumatism from 10 years of wet stockings hanging down my back. Every night when I think we're all in bed, I'm about to fall asleep myself, all worn and cozy and comfy, and then somebody comes along with a cold key. I tell you, someday I shall have my revenge.
But how, Herbert?
When they took me from the forest, I left a part of me there, a little seed. Someday the men will come once again, waiting for my seed to grow so that they can chop me down. But I'll fool them this time!
But
I'll fool them!
How, Herbert, how?
Don't be silly, this time I won't come out!
Music of Easter is ringing in the hearts of millions of men and women the world over.
Well, this is an Easter that promises the peace we have been striving and fighting for these last long years. Christ died on the cross so that mankind might know of a peaceful and wonderful life today and in each day to come. The story of his sacrifice and belief in a freedom forever has been written again in blood and tears. Our valiant fighting men have given their lives to fulfill that promise of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And so this Easter Sunday, 1945, the glorious music that fills our hearts is a deep and reverent prayer for those who have fought so gallantly for a free world and a peaceful tomorrow.
Made great by your recognition of their achievements. Mr. District Attorney, Lieutenant Jackie Coogan, the creator of Terry and the Pirates, Milton Caniff, singer Rose Marie, your guest master of ceremonies, that faster quipmaster from Thanks to the Yanks, Bob Hawk, and the Dean of Modern American Music, Paul Whiteman, the orchestra and chorus. Philco Corporation brings you your Radio Hall of Fame in the name of Philco dealers and distributors throughout the United States and Canada. After victory, those dealers will bring new products for good living to your home. Finer radios, phonographs, refrigerators, and air conditioners under the Philco name. Famous for quality the world over. This visit to your Radio Hall of Fame will be transmitted to our men and women overseas by shortwave and through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. We'll be right back. is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.